We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see you. Welcome. Isn't that good that we can... Just what he was praying, just what we were saying, isn't it good that it does not depend on us? It doesn't depend on our goodness. It doesn't depend on our ability. It doesn't depend on anything that you and I have done. Because here's the deal, we know us. We know our warts, we know our wrinkles, we don't always know where our table is, do we? There's our table. We know a lot of things. There it is. I feel at home. I feel like my happy place has showed up. God, love it. I appreciate you, Ben. Thank you for that. But it's true. We're just like that. We're not complete without Christ. We're not. He completes us. He don't complete us. You know, I say this. I catch myself. I'm riding down the road and I'm praying and I say these foolish prayers like, Lord, thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for all that you do for me. And his conviction, that's a good prayer, but there's a conviction. What does he not do for me? You know, when is there a moment, it's like that breath and that inhale, that exhale, that inhale, that exhale, this blood that's pumping, that heart, that pump, 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 all these numbers that just stay right inside of us, our being able to think, being able to put together coherent sentences, that just does not accidentally happen. He holds us all together by the word, by his power. So there's nothing outside of him. We don't just, well, I've got this one. No, we really don't. He takes his spirit away from us and we're dirt again. We're not even dirt. We're whatever he wants us to be. Praise God it's not us. Praise God it's not our ability. Praise God it's not us that's going to have to stand before him one day in our own weakness, in our own frailty, and have to give an account for this because we would not get in on our own. No matter how good we are, no matter how hard we tried, no matter how anything about us, it is all him, period, is Christ in everything. That's actually a wonderful lead into what we're talking about this morning. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 9. And Matthew chapter 9, Jesus understood that about us. Jesus understood that about humanity. He knew exactly what his task was. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was going to have to face. He knew exhaustively who he was facing it for. Us. Weak, broken, aimless people. You know, and this morning... The more I think about that, the more I hear those words coming out of me, and I'm thinking to myself, humility and staying humble before God is necessary. One of the worst things for a Christian is to forget where they came from, to forget who they were, to forget where we were when he found us. We were lost. We brought nothing to the table. We were not doing anything good. We were on a path destined to eternal separation from him, but God. Praise God for that. Praise God he found us. Praise God he intercepted us. Praise God he met us in that most needy spot, and he gave us life. It was all him. This morning, if there's anything, I mean, we're going to talk a lot, but if there's anything we're going to, I hope, get out of this is we need him, and not just us, but everybody needs him. Jesus looks, look at here. Jesus has been teaching. He's doing a lot. Matthew chapter 9, Look at verse 35. Here, the Bible says Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Look at verse 36, though. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. When Jesus saw people, his heart was broken. He was moved. He felt compassion for them. And it says, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. You know, this morning said, well, that's interesting. Who in here really understands sheep? Anybody ever raised sheep? Like sheep that you shear, shearing sheep. Anybody got any shearing sheep at home? Exactly. So you have to do like I do, Google it. All right, I Googled it this morning, and I said, here was the question I asked. I said, what can happen to a sheep without a shepherd? And this is what, I don't want that one. This is what it said. A domestic sheep without a shepherd is at high risk of death. Due to several factors, including its inability to control its wool growth. It can't even take care of the simple, basic, everyday, run-of-the-mill things. Can't even cut its hair. Its wool growth, vulnerability to parasites and diseases, getting stuck or injured, and being unable to find food and water reliably. They're also susceptible to predators due to their defenselessness nature and can be led to dangerous situations like following others off a cliff. That's a sheep. We're just dumb old sheep. This thing I started out with talking, and we're like, you're sitting there and a little bit of pride swells up and you say, yeah, but Brother Shannon, I'm not all that bad. At the end of the day, you're just a dumb old sheep. You're gonna walk and starve to death. You can't take care of yourself. You're gonna follow the wrong thing. You're gonna follow another leader, which is nothing but another dumb sheep ahead of you. You're gonna wander around, and you're either gonna fall off a cliff. You're gonna head toward the wolves. You're gonna fall into a pasture. You're gonna wander around in a desert to where there is no food, and all the while you're eating stuff that's making you sick. You're doing stuff that's bad for you. Guys, that sounds like us. That sounds like humanity. That sounds like the people Jesus was looking at. He had compassion for them. His heart was broken when he looked out over them, and he had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, last couple of days, Friday and Saturday, most of us, I'm not saying we're stuck to a television, but you probably watched a little bit of a ball game on Friday night, and you probably watched a bunch of ball games on Saturday night, or Saturday. They start at like 11 and go all day long, 11, 2:30, and whenever the next one. Then you got the late ones if you catch the, West Coast or whatever. You can watch a lot of people. Do you ever notice the stands? Do you ever notice the fans? Do you ever look up in the crowd? There's a lot of people there, y'all. There's a lot of people in those stands. There's a lot of people going to those things. You ever gone to Disney? There's a lot of people there. Have you ever gone on vacation? There are Six Flags. There's a lot of people there. Every one of those people is a sheep. Every one of those people is just a dumb old sheep that has to have a shepherd, or they die and go to hell. Every human is a sheep, and he has to have a shepherd, or he will die and go to hell. And there's only one shepherd. Period. Every coworker, every friend, every buddy, every neighbor, every person in the stands, every person on the roller coaster with you, every person at the beach with you, every person on the interstate with you is a sheep. And he must have a shepherd. And there is but one shepherd, and that's Jesus. And that's what he understood, and that's why he had compassion on them, because he realized they couldn't do nothing for themselves. They're sheep. They're just gonna trip. They're just gonna fall. They fall with all that wool. They can't get up. They get stuck in a fence. They can't get out, and they die. They fall in something, they dead. They don't get food, they die. The parasites get in them, they die. It all ends for a sheep at death, unless they're being led by a shepherd. And that shepherd leads them to green pastures, to good water. That shepherd has a staff that keeps the enemy away. That shepherd has a staff that when a sheep falls into the ravine, he can reach down with the top of his staff and he can pull his sheep out. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Every person is a sheep, and they got to have a shepherd. And Jesus understood that. And look at what he says. He says, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. He said, look in the stands. The harvest is plentiful. Look down the beach on Labor Day and Memorial Day and 4th of July and all the other days. The harvest is plentiful. Look on the interstate. The harvest is plentiful. Look around the world. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There's a problem. There is a problem. Every human, listen to this, here's the problem. Every human is a sheep. Every human that's ever existed is a sheep. And they must have a shepherd, and there's only one. It's exclusive. He is only, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except exclusively only through me. It don't matter if you were a good sheep. It don't matter if you really tried hard as a sheep. It don't matter if you wasn't a bad sheep. You were just an okay sheep, kind of a middle of the pack kind of sheep. But you got to have a shepherd. And Jesus says there's the harvest is plentiful. There's so many of them. The workers are few. What do we do? You know what he does not say in that next verse? He doesn't say we need more preachers. He doesn't say we need more sermons. He doesn't say we need more Sunday school classes or more programs. He doesn't say we need more Bible education. We don't need more seminaries. He doesn't say a lot of things. There's not another program. Well, we need to have a get-together, or we need to have a potluck, or we just need to have something. We need to have a revival. He doesn't say that. What does he say? Look at the next verse. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. You know what Jesus says? Pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Beg to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send workers out into the harvest. Because the Spirit of God has got to move on the hearts of men to go back up and see men the way Jesus saw them, to have compassion on them, to see them as wandering, aimless, lost, helpless, hopeless sheep that are in desperate need of a Savior, that are in desperate need of hope. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send out harvesters into the field. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send workers out. Who are the workers? Who are the workers? He doesn't say we need more preachers. He says we need more workers. He says he doesn't say we need more sermons or more programs. He doesn't say we need any of that. He says pray to God. Beseech the Lord of the harvest that he'll send workers out into the harvest. Pray that God would move on the hearts of his people and transform them in such a way that they'd go out into the harvest. Because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Look over with me at John. John chapter 4. Church, I said last week, There's a disconnect. The evil one, the one who came to kill, steal, and destroy, has created a campaign somewhere a long time ago in the church that only a select few men are to do the work of the harvest. And that's not biblical. The select few men that the church have been appointed and put there by God to be equippers of the saints to do the work of ministry. And what is the work of ministry? To go into the harvest. The Bible says, Jesus says, look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Read that again. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes a harvest? It's like it's out there. We got a while. 4 months from now, we got a while. Jesus says, I say, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white to harvest. Look around you. They're here. They're right there. They're everywhere. They're in the stands. They're down the beach. They're on the interstate. They're down the streets. They're across the road. They're in the cubicle next to you, the classroom next to you, the seat next to you. It's not way down the road. They're right there in front of you. Workers, they're right there in front of you. They're right there. It's not an out there. It's not in a little bit. No, it's right there. Look, lift up your eyes. There they are. Whoa, there they are. Who is around us? Sheep. And what do sheep have to have a shepherd? And if those sheep around you do not have a shepherd, they're going to go to hell. See them? You see them? Lift up your eyes. They're right there. See them? They're right there around you. It's not, I'll run into one of them in one day. No, they're everywhere today. Right now. That's what broke Jesus' heart. That's what he had compassion over. He looked out over people. He saw people. Yes, as sheep without a shepherd. Yes, wandering aimlessly. Yes, living a life that is hurting themselves, hopeless, helpless, alone, without a shepherd. That's what he saw. And he says, look up, there they are. There they are. There they are. They're all around us. Workers, Christian, believer, those of you who have been given the good news, received the good news, been entrusted and grafted into the family of God with a story, with a message, been equipped with everything pertaining to life and godliness, and literally called by God an ambassador of His, a spokesperson, a herald of the good news. That's us. That's you. Look with me over to 1 Corinthians. You say, Brother Shannon, I can't. You don't have to. On your own. You don't have to on your own. Church, if you're a Christian, And you know, I was looking around, I was standing back here in the back. Not a lot of you here this morning. A lot of folks gone. I was looking back there and I feel good about this room. Y'all may have me tricked and you may have me fooled, but I feel good about this room. That there's a lot of workers in this room, that there's a lot of believers in this room, that there's a lot of people that know Jesus in this room, that you didn't just come to church because it was Sunday. You didn't just come to church because you wanted to see somebody or you wanted to be part of the club. No, you love Christ and you want to be with his people. You want to grow. You want to hear. You want to see. You want to be equipped. You want to be reminded. You want to be encouraged. You want to be convicted. You want that punch in the gut. You want that. You don't want that attaboy. You want that I need you more, Christ, and I want to love you more, Christ. You have everything you need to go be a worker in the harvest. We just have to look up and see them. Oh, there they are. It's not like when the sun and the moon and Jupiter and Mars, remember we always thought there was Pluto. That's the reason a lot of folks never did it. They've been waiting on Pluto to line up. He don't exist. It ain't going to line up if you're waiting on Pluto. And some of you are like, oh, I need to get started, don't I? Yeah. Because every person you've ever seen is a sheep. And he could have been a good mama or he could have been a good daddy. I've had so many people sit there and tell me about how awesome mom and daddy was, and nowhere in the story does anywhere talk about Jesus. I've seen a lot. I've been in church all my life, and I've preached for a very long time. And I've heard a lot of good church people talk about really good family members, really good uncles, really good parents, really good siblings, really good kids. And they tell stories about them of how good they were, but nowhere in their story is Jesus. Nowhere in their story was a shepherd. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, this is something that really makes us feel good. This really takes the load off of us, the burden off of us, thank you, Jesus. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. It's God who does the transforming. It's God who does the saving. It's God who does the work. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. God's building. Look at me. One plants, one waters, God sows, makes the increase. All right? One plants, one waters, but God causes the increase. What that means in very simple terms is you save nobody. You're either planting or watering. You're either planting or watering. God's causing the increase. The saving parts, that's God's business. The transforming the soul, the bringing them from death to life, the making them part of the family, the cleaning them all up, the fixing the sin, the cleaning out all that, that's God's job. You plant or water. You either sow the seed or come along the line behind someone who's already sowed a seed and you encourage, you continue, you add to, you pour to it, you add to it. But it's got to be gospel-centered. I can walk up to somebody and I can listen, sowing and planting and sowing is not talking about football games. Planting and sowing is not talking about family reunions and what was for lunch. Planting and sowing has nothing to do. Planting and sowing has only to do with the gospel. Do you sheep have a shepherd? The planning is, hey, listen, for the very first time they hear that, hey, you're a sheep and you can't do anything for yourself and you need a shepherd and Jesus is the shepherd. Listen, Jesus is the only way and you sheep need to follow Jesus. You sheep need to trust Jesus, period. That's planting. Watering is, hey, look, Jesus loves you. Have you trusted Christ? He's your only hope. You got to believe in him. Listen, you got to follow Christ. Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. Is he your Lord? Jesus saved me. Has he saved you? That's watering. That's encouraging. That's pulling the dirt out. Look, you don't need to be living like that. You need to go to Jesus. He can make it better. You need to go to Jesus. He's the only way. You need to be with Jesus. He's the only hope. That's watering. And that is all we can do. We can't save nobody. You can't fix nobody. You're not a shepherd. You're not the shepherd. We don't take a dumb sheep and say, hey, you come follow me and I'm going to make you better. No, we say, look, you follow him because I'm trying to follow him the best I can too. I'm following him. Come on. Let me take you to my Jesus. Jesus had compassion on the crowds because he saw them for who they were. Jesus had compassion on people because he saw them for who they really were. They were in desperate need of a shepherd. And he said, here's what you need to do. You need to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into the field. Fields are ripe. Look, there they are. Listen, you either sow or you water. I'll transform them. But you got to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Father God, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. God, that you would send harvesters into the field. That you would send sowers. That you would send cultivators. That you would send men and women, God, out of this very room, out of the people that are sitting in these very seats. God, the ones that are watching or will watch, Lord, I pray that we would lift up our eyes and see people for who they are. They're not just good people. They're not just good neighbors. Not just good. No, they're lost if they've not trusted you. They're just lost sheep, Lord. God, have mercy on us. Holy Spirit of God, dear God, we come to you as Jesus told us to do. We come to you and ask, Lord, that you would send workers out into those fields. God, send workers. Send us. We're workers. Send us. Give us boldness, give us strength, give us the words to say, give us opportunities to say it, take the excuses away, the fear away, the doubt, the worry, anxiety, the pressure to perform, the pressure to articulate perfectly. That's irrational, that is a lie. God, we're not going to mess nobody up. We're not going to lead nobody the wrong way. Just help us to be sensitive to your spirit and humbly as we know how, just sow or water. Good chance most of us in this area, the seed's been planted. We can just go sow maybe. Seed's already been planted. I doubt we're going to find many in our area that has never heard the name of Jesus. God, many have probably heard about him in a church service, in a school service, maybe growing up in church, maybe some family members told them about him, but for whatever reason, they rejected, and Lord, they are just wandering aimlessly. They are just wandering, hurting themselves, and God, they are going to fall and die. They need a shepherd. God, help us to go. Help us to go out there and tell them, look. Help us to go out there and remind them that Jesus is the only shepherd. Jesus, you are the good shepherd. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my hope. You are my only all. You are I am God to me. And Lord, I still wonder, I still mess up, but I praise you for your rod of correction. I praise you for your staff that brings me back. I praise you, God, when I drift, you're there. I praise you. God, help me look up and see them. They're right there around me. God, help each one of us look up. They're right there around us. You didn't tell us to die on a cross for them. You told us to just water. You got to do that, God. You got to move in our hearts. You got to send workers out. You've got to do that. Please, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.